The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subro Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. We're still keeping an eye on the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, where the defense has been making its final statements. The prosecution went a little bit earlier. If there's anything... they've just closed. They've finished their closing argument. So we'll have a little bit of that for you a little bit later this hour. We're also following up on some tips we've gotten, consistent tips about another crime today in downtown Seattle. As soon as we can get corroboration on these tips, we will share that breaking news with you. It's a very busy afternoon, I'm telling you. But it is never too busy for my first guest this hour. It is a Dory Monson Show exclusive.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
It was a pretty good get for us. I don't know how Nicole was able to arrange it. John Curley, the host of the Tom and Curley Show, joins us live.
I'm not sure why I'm here. The pressure to be in the Big Lead, I don't know if I can handle this.
You can handle it. You know why? Because you're battle toughened.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So on Thursday,
yes.
See, I have a wonderful, blessed life, John. And so I try to not have the sin of jealousy.
Okay.
Which is one of the deadly sins.
It is a deadly sin.
Yeah.
It's called socialism.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I was a little jealous of you on Thursday.
You should be jealous of me every day, Dory, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, we can talk about that off air. But, no, I was very jealous of you on Thursday. Tell my listeners what you did that would make somebody like me jealous.
I was able to bend over and tie my shoes.
That's not funny.
Let's see. Oh, I made a commitment to myself that I would see all of the great performers from the 60s and 70s before they die. So yes. I hopped on a plane and I flew down to Vegas. I bought VIP tickets and I watched Barry Manilow at the age of 78 do an hour and 52 minutes of singing all of the hits. And I sat there and thought, this is a guilty pleasure and hard to justify. And one of these weird things where I just don't want to, I didn't want to like look at my phone one day and go, oh, the singer-songwriter Barry Manilow passed away today. I thought, oh, I should have seen him. There was all these guys are going. Right. And this begins the quest. Johnny Mathis is next.
Well, it's a wonderful quest to have. And I've seen Barry Manilow twice in Vegas. Uh-huh. I love Barry Manilow. I'm an unabashed fan. A lot of people are embarrassed to say that. I am not. I think that he's incredibly gifted. He's a perfect sign of how to age gracefully.
Yeah.
That's one thing. That,
oh, the face.
Oh, it's a snare drum.
Oh, it's, yeah.
And you can't do that with the neck, so it's so weird to go.
Yeah,
Now, have you seen, and here's the thing, because you said Johnny Mathis is next.
Yes.
And I'd like to help you compile this list, because I have had this, I've been on the same quest for a couple of decades now.
See, no, whenever you want to help compile the list, it means plus one, meaning get you a ticket as well. Why? Nicole told me.
No, I've seen
that you're like,
these.
Why didn't he invite me? Everything I do that's like mildly fun, you jump in with, well, why didn't he invite me? What do you mean, why would I invite? Why would I think about inviting you? You're busy. You're busy finding stories about people shooting one another, trying to keep government accountable. That's your thing, Dory. That's what you do.
But here's the thing, the other thing, John.
Yes, yes,
Dory. I can help you turn Vegas up to 11.
Well, let me tell you something. I checked into the hotel. The guy was so impressed that I was doing this. He upgraded me to the 28th floor to this suite that was like 2,000 square feet. It had everything but the piano, and he didn't charge me anything extra. He liked my whole idea, and then he made a list for me, see Johnny Mathis and see this person and see that person, and I stood there and we were just compiling the list. Celine Dion, he says, no, you can't see her. She's not feeling well. But this guy was great. No, listen, I can't turn Vegas up to 11. I'm sure you do all that stuff, the gambling. I went in, saw the show. bought a pina colada, Johnny Mathis, or not, a Barry Manilow pina colada for $22, and made my way past all of the walkers and wheelchairs and went right to my seat and sat there. And I sang every song, and the guy in front of me was videotaping the entire concert. And I knew my voice was probably going to end up on his phone. And at first, I kind of pulled back. Like, I shouldn't sing. And I thought, yeah, screw it. I paid $250 for the seat. I'm going to, and I know every word. I know every word of every song. So screw you if you want to, you know what? I'm going to be singing back up on your phone, buddy.
Well, and that is a little annoying. But I saw the Eagles a couple weeks ago. And, okay. And there are a lot of people around.
What's annoying? The guy with the phone or me singing?
Both.
Oh.
The people who hold up their phones to record concerts, there are a billion YouTube videos of every song that Barry Manilow has ever done live, and nobody needs to record it on their own phone.
No.
And then you don't really need to sing along because people want to hear him. But
Wait a minute. Let me get back to the phone thing. I have a gut news for everybody out there. No one wants to watch the video that you shot from your seat.
Right.
Nobody. No
one. Exactly.
Jesus Christ comes back and does two nights in Vegas. A Friday, does a two show. Friday, 9 o'clock, a little bluer one at 11 o'clock. Don't bother videotaping it, okay? I don't care. Even if it's Christ himself, and at this point, like the O show, he's walking on the water, no one wants to watch it. No one.
Is the 11 o'clock show where he works a little blue?
A little blue. A little blue.
Okay, but Johnny Mathis, I think, is a great choice.
Yes.
Have you seen Wayne Newton?
He is also on the list, and he doesn't look well, so I got to hurry up and get down. I got to get off the phone because I got to get down there and see.
No, let me tell you about this. I saw Wayne Newton in a big showroom at the Riviera many years ago.
Okay.
And and he does this thing. My wife and I, we were by far the youngest people at the show. We were like in our mid-30s at the time.
Okay.
And he goes, and stops. They start a song. And they go, stop. He goes, let me ask you. Are there any veterans in here tonight? If you're a veteran, I want you to stand up. And every man in the place is a vet.
Yes.
And then and he goes, I want to do something just for you. I never do this. And this huge flag unfurls, and he starts singing God Bless America. And all the men are crying, all the women, their wives are all crying. My wife and I were crying because it was just such great, cheesy theater. And he does it every night at the same time.
Just happens to have a giant flag the size of like a used car lot flag.
Yes. And so anyway, about 2 years ago, he's now playing in this tiny little lounge at Caesar's Palace that holds about maybe 100 people. And my wife and I got VIP tickets for that. And I've got one other for you. Head on up to the Tropicana and see Rich Little.
Oh, no way.
Yes. It's John, I'm telling you. He shows clips of an old bit on Johnny Carson's show, and he lip syncs along with it. He doesn't realize. He's just watching the screen with the rest of us.
Oh.
But that's where I got a picture taken with Pia Zadora.
I mean, I'm not going because it's campy or, you know, it feels weird. It's one of these things. Don Rickles dies. I didn't get a chance to see Don Rickles. I wanted to see him because there's some, even on their way down, there's something about watching them on stage work because they've been working so long. I saw Frank Sinatra and I have seen Tony Bennett. Got it. Listen, and I just, it's these guys, there's something about them. If your career can span 40, 50, 60 years.
Absolutely.
I'll pay $250 to see you. As I walked out of Barry Manilow, he was doing Copacabana, which they stretched out to about 11 minutes, and he's going up and down the stairs and everything. And as I learned this from my father, you always leave early, as my father says, only idiots sit in long lines. So I get up, I'm heading out to the exit, and as I'm heading to the exit, I turn back one more time to see him, and Copacabana. Mm-hmm. And he holds a finger out like this because that's his thing. And as he holds his finger out, I turned around and looked. Now, he wasn't looking right at me, or maybe he was. And I held my finger out, and it was just this snapshot moment of like, check, Barry, you may pass away now.
I respect. Well, no, I hope that he goes on for another 10, 12 years.
That's not going to be happening to
him. Okay, here's the other key question.
Be, 10 more years.
Here's the other key question.
Yes.
And then I'll let you go. When he did my favorite Barry Manilow song, Could It Be Magic?
Oh, yeah.
Did he do the original version or the disco version?
He did both. First, he set it up with a piano, and he sat there. He started to play it. Yeah. And then he said Donna Summers took it over, and then she made it a number one, and then he came back and re-recorded it again. Yeah.
Yeah. The original, you should never do the disco one. In college. By the way, I'm very good at playing this prelude on the piano.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an expert at it.
Is that what's playing now? Is that you?
That's me, yes.
I've got a video of you playing it. I want to share it with everybody.
Yeah, yeah, I'm tickling the ivories right now. And I'm playing the piano.
And having Barry sing back up for you. I took a picture of myself wearing a Barry Manilow Christmas sweater with a yellow boa on it. Yellow boa. I sent it to Jacob. He put it up on the Facebook page. And this morning I got from the Gay Medium Forum, your profile for Gay Medium Forum has been approved. Now you can see all other members as well. Please confirm your registration. Congratulations. You're now a member of the Gay Media Forum.
Nice.
And I don't know who. I think you put the picture up of yourself. Proud to be associated. I don't know who these people are, but I guess if you wear a Barry Manilow sweater, it says Barry on it, and you put on a yellow boa, and you put the picture up, you can be accepted into this group.
Okay. Well, again, congratulations on everything, John.
Thank you. Thank you, Dory. Johnny Mathis is next.
Okay. Hey, you should bring me along to that one.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that bring you along. It like you're
we'll
like
talk.
Your com okay, we'll talk. Okay.
All right. Okay. See you later.
Okay. Oh, goodbye.
You hear John on the Tom Curley show starting.
Yeah, hey, by the way, thanks for throwing to the Ron and Don show the other day. That really helped. Thanks
that was
a lot,
weird.
Dude. Yeah, that was, yeah. You know what? I better hurry up and see you before you die.
That was really, really weird.
Yeah.
I have no idea where that came from.
I do. Goodbye.
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 Here comes John Curley. Hey, bring this up full here, Sean. Because after this, Sean, I have to go to some bad, ugly breaking news. And I need a little joy in my life before I go to that. But just a few more seconds.
Baby, I love you, come.
You know what I should do? I should go to the end where the strings build up and then they fade and it's just him playing the prelude solo on the piano again. Let me get to that. Oh, wait. Yeah, bring this up full. I can play that, the beginning and end of that. All right, and I stretch this out because we do have some breaking news that is just coming into us here on the Dory Monson Show, and I'm very sad to be reporting this. Let's get to the next in the big lead.
The big lead, breaking news.
I'd gotten a tip right before the top of the hour about a stabbing. Now, what is unconfirmed, but I'm told it was during a robbery attempt at the Target store in downtown Seattle. The Target store in downtown Seattle. Somebody has been stabbed. We have it now apparently confirmed because it is on the police blotter as well. The employee was stabbed in the back. An additional report states the two suspects brandished a knife.
Hey, Dory.
At
wait.
The employee. Yes.
But before you give details, Sean is getting Sergeant Husarek on the line right now to clarify what's happened. So before you give these details, let him do it.
I would love that. Okay, Sergeant Randy Husarek, and he's going to be on any moment now.
And it sounds like what happened is they responded to a call about a robbery, and then as they were approaching, I believe the guy attacked an employee, and then as he was leaving, stabbed somebody else, but Randy will clarify.
Well, that's exactly what I was about to say.
All right, Sergeant is on the line.
All right, appreciate it. Okay, joining us live, Sergeant Randy Husarek with the Seattle Police Department. Sergeant, always appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
You betcha.
All right, tell me what transpired this afternoon at the downtown Seattle Target.
Well, officers were dispatched to the report of a robbery at the downtown Target store. When they arrived on scene, met with store employees. what they were told was that the suspect was seen concealing items inside the store, and a store employee went to confront them to recover the items, at which point the suspect punched the store employee and then fled the store with the items, and at that point had then committed a robbery because they were retaining the items by force.
Okay, and was there a stabbing involved or just the punch?
Well, what we have here is actually two separate incidents and two separate crimes on two separate victims. So you have the robbery at the Target.
Okay.
The suspect then, upon fleeing the store, randomly stabbed a person outside the store who was on the sidewalk and then fled the scene from that second incident.
And do you know the condition of the person who was stabbed?
Sounds like they actually took themselves to the hospital, and officers responded up to that location and met with the victim, who was receiving aid at the hospital. And at this point, I don't have any further on that person's condition.
You know what surprises me, Sergeant, is that an employee confronted this guy, because for so long now, and I know that you all have to deal with this on a consistent basis, but people are shoplifting seemingly with impunity in downtown Seattle. And we have seen a couple of open-air markets where they're selling the clothes with the tags still on them. And I thought all of these stores, and by the way, I like that somebody's standing up to all this crime, but I thought all these stores had essentially a hands-off policy for their employees. Can you tell me anything about that?
Well, at this point, I don't know if, and I certainly can't speak to any downtown stores' internal policies on dealing with shoplifters and whatnot. So it's hard for me to know if this was just a case of them saying, hey, we saw you take the items, you need to give them back, kind of thing, where, sometimes that method works. People will turn over the items, they'll get trespassed from the store, and then be walked out of the store, or if this was a case of when contacted by the store employee and told to return the items, if the person attacked the store employee or what. Like I said, I still don't have all the details because officers are still at the scene investigating the incident.
Are things, I know with the depolicing that we have so much crime, I can't believe it blows my mind that the Seattle City Council has proposed another $11 million in police cuts. But with all this depolicing, is there some point where we're going to see a light at the end of this tunnel in downtown Seattle and really all around the city?
Well, I certainly hope so. I hope, at some point we hit a turning point where folks feel that that we've turned the corner, that we're gonna come up with effective programs to deal with a lot of the problems that the city is facing right now. But we also need to know that especially for repeat offenders, and folks like that who seem to continue to break the law and do so without there being much of any punishment, clearly. There needs to be a consequence, that goes beyond just, charging people and then turning them loose again.
Yeah, the revolving door is not working. All right, I know it's been a busy afternoon for all of you. Sergeant, I appreciate you coming on with me on such short notice.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, thank you, sir. Sergeant Randy Husarick with the Seattle Police Department. So at the downtown Seattle Target, a guy just walking out with armloads of stolen merchandise. A store employee apparently, reportedly confronted him. That store employee got punched. And then as the man fled the store, it sounds like he randomly stabbed somebody just out on the street. That person was able to transport themselves to the hospital. And Nicole, did I ask if they've caught the guy? I think I forgot to ask the most important question.
But they did. He was apprehended. Yes.
Okay. Jeez. I forgot to ask that. Crying out loud. All right. He has been apprehended. That is the breaking news, and that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We will check the news for you. Have more on this story, I'm sure. And then we have a lot of other stuff to get to, including how our southern border, Joe Biden's unchecked southern border, is killing people. here in Western Washington, and our Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, does not care. Details next on the Dory Monson Show. It's all theater. Politics, politicians, it's all theater. Bob Ferguson's our state attorney general. He acts like he cares about opioid victims. It's all theater. Bob Ferguson today began a trial against three opioid distributors: McKesson Corp, Cardinal Health Incorporated, and AmerisourceBergen Drug Corp. They ship oxycodone, fentanyl, other painkillers into our state. And then the doctors write the prescriptions, and the prescriptions get filled, and people sometimes die from opioid overdoses. Now, the reason I say it's all theater is because the most opioid deaths are coming on the streets. We're seeing that rather consistently. And we had a Dory Monson Show exclusive for you at noon today, because we had just found out about Homeland Security filing a certification for probable cause in a street narcotics case. And I want to read this very, very important, that you understand how this translates to nothing but political theater from Bob Ferguson. The federal charges have been filed against Cota Valenzuela. They interviewed him for 34 minutes, and Cota Valenzuela said that he arrived in Pioneer Square to deliver blue pills. He was aware that he had powder fentanyl in the Nissan Sentra he had been provided. He was aware of the loaded firearm that he had been provided. He was driving a car that belonged to someone else. He was staying at a hotel room that was rented for him by other people. He is a citizen of Mexico, and he's been here for about 2 weeks. So how did Cota Valenzuela get to Seattle and King County and Western Washington? Well, he explained that he made a deal with the deadly Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. The cartel said, we will smuggle you across — it's not even smuggle — we will transport you across the border that Joe Biden refuses to enforce in any way. But this deadly drug-dealing cartel told Cota Valenzuela that they would get him across the border. They would provide him with a gun, a car, and at the time that he was arrested, Cota Valenzuela had 322 grams of heroin, 143 grams of meth, 48 grams of cocaine, 25 grams of fentanyl, 109 blue M30 pills containing fentanyl, and then another 152 of those fentanyl pills were found elsewhere. He had a 9mm handgun, and he had scales and lots of U.S. dollars, currency, all consistent with drug trafficking. The Sinaloa cartel got this guy up here because King County is the best county in the United States to be a drug user and a drug dealer, quite frankly. You know, thank goodness we have the Department of Homeland Security. But we have covered this topic extensively on the Dory Monson Show. We've talked with Homeland Security. We've talked with the DEA about how easy it is to get across the border. And then the drugs and the mules, they come right up I-5 and they end up here in Seattle and King County. And that indeed is what happened in this case. Let's get back to Bob Ferguson now, who is suing. He's going after these pharmaceutical opioid makers. Bob Ferguson filed a million lawsuits against the Trump administration. He said that he did that because the Trump administration was dangerous to the people of our state. Why in the world, knowing that a Mexican cartel smuggles somebody with drugs, guns, money, scales, gives them a car, buys them a hotel room, and it's all because, well, first of all, these cartels are deadly, but the Biden administration refuses to do anything about our southern border. Our border czar, Kamala Harris, has never even been to the border where all the criminals are coming across. I mean, it is an absolute dereliction of duty. And if a Mexican drug smuggler can get across that easily, do you think maybe terrorists could? Just maybe? Do you think the million illegal aliens who have come across the border, unvaccinated, unmasked, flown around the country, you think that's a problem for public health at all? Bob Ferguson sued the Trump administration 82 times because he said he had to protect Washington State from the Trump administration. You know how many Joe Biden lawsuits Bob Ferguson has filed? None. Even though Joe Biden is a million times more dangerous to the people of our state than Donald Trump ever was in matters that would relate to Bob Ferguson. When they are sending deadly drug mules up here and people on the street are dying, when a pharmaceutical company does it, Bob Ferguson thinks it's worthy of a lawsuit. When Joe Biden does it, Bob Ferguson sits on his thumbs. Which gets back to my original point. It is all theater. It is nothing but theater. Bob Ferguson, as an attorney general, believes that he should be a pit bull against anybody who is moderate or right of center, and he is a protection racket for the far left. And this is the attorney general. Justice is not blind in Washington. The voters who vote for Bob Ferguson, they might be somewhat blind. But until Bob Ferguson, who sued Trump 82 times, now that he has proof from the certificate of probable cause obtained by the Dory Monson show, he has proof that our open southern border leads to mules bringing drugs up here, which kill people. I guess Bob Ferguson only cares about death, depending upon who the killer is. Take a quick time out. We'll count down our awesome audio of the day. That's next here on the Dory Monson Show.
And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. What a way to kick off a week, huh? All right, we're not done either, because it is time to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
We have record low approval now for Joe Biden. Even the network morning shows, they couldn't ignore it. They've tried, oh my gosh, they've tried to build up Joe Biden, but they can't.
A new poll shows the president's approval rating is at an all-time low. Just 41% of those surveyed said that they approve of the president's job performance. 53% said they do not approve.
But his approval rating taking another nosedive and his Build Back Better agenda in major doubt.
Whit, this is a devastating poll for Joe Biden and the Democratic Party.
Yes, devastating. Over on The View, they are so upset about Joe Biden's low approval, especially when none of it is Joe's fault.
I feel as though Joe Biden's getting the blame for things that he really doesn't have that much control over. He doesn't control gas prices. Correct me if I'm wrong. Inflation is something that's happening all over the world, is very much related to the pandemic that we're still in. The supply, what do you call that? The supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
Is held up because of COVID.
She doesn't know what it's called, but she's got an opinion on it. Did anybody correct her when she was wrong about Biden has no control over gas prices, Nicole? I know you watched more of
that. Oh, no. No. They go on to, I don't know if we're going to have time to play the whole thing, but they go on to criticize Harris and say that everybody, or the critical people talking about Harris's low approval rating is because she's female, has nothing to do with the job she's doing. She's been given some tough jobs. I watched that and I just felt bad. If that is someone's only news source, they are being so misled.
That is really
scary.
Absolutely. So. No, and of course Joe Biden impacts gas prices when he says on the campaign trail that he wants to put oil execs in prison, when he says that he's going to shut down the major Keystone pipeline, when half the oil rigs that were operating in 2019 are operating in 2021. And then he just nominated this woman, Saul Omarova, to be our banking currency person. And she's from Russia. She is an avowed communist. And here's what she says she would like to see happen.
For certain troubled industries and firms that are in transitioning. And here what I'm thinking about is primarily coal industry and oil and gas industry. A lot of the smaller players in that industry are going to probably go bankrupt in short order. At least we want them to go bankrupt if we want to tackle climate change, right?
So if you want companies in the oil, gas industry, and coal industries, you want them to go bankrupt, you create policies that make just that happen. And she is Biden's nominee for the comptroller of the currency in the United States of America. And then these people on The View say, well, he doesn't have any impact on gas prices. When they want to force companies out of business, they cut out pipelines, they reduce fracking, they reduce the number of oil rigs that are operating. It's amazing. And as for Joe himself, they're at an event with Kamala Harris's husband. And I believe, since she is the first female vice president, I believe his title is the first gentleman. I don't know. Let me find out from Joe Biden what the right title is for Kamala's husband.
I want to thank everyone who helped make this happen. Vice President Harris, my cabinet members, my White House team, Jill, Doug, our first lady and our first lady and our second husband. No, I'm joking.
Okay. I guess he doesn't know either. And then there was an awkward moment at this event where he was alone on stage and sounded scared about it.
You know, here we go. Where is everybody? Jill. Jill's here. The Attorney General. We got the whole guy. What is there? All right, Jill. I don't know what was going on back there, but I don't know.
He looks scared to be on stage by himself. And then you got Kamala Harris, who has the record low approval. The press was able to ask her one question today about Russia and the Russian border, and she couldn't answer.
Russia, is there any sign that Russia is heeding the U.S. warnings to back off of Ukraine?
I cannot talk to you about classified information, but we, of course, remain very concerned about what's happening here.
You can't talk about class. All they asked is, what are your reaction to Russia making threats about going into Ukraine? I can't talk about that. It's class. It's not class. I'm not talking about give us some deep state secrets. But she just had absolutely no idea. It's very, very interesting and frightening all at the same time. Okay, that is going to do it for us. Been a big kickoff to the week. I think we're going to have a huge week ahead of us here. The Tom and Curly Show coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And I will see you back here tomorrow, high noon. I hope you're staying dry, you and the people you love. I know it's treacherous out there. You're in our prayers. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Another incredible performance tonight.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.